welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello and welcome to episode number 130 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb.
130? Yeah. Amazing.
Not doing too bad, are we? I'm finished my introduction. Why are we lacking okay. then?
You was looking like an old man the way you were coming out of the chair.
I feel a bit like one at the moment, but we'll get to that. I know you're all sick of hearing about my baby talk.
You just need sleep.
Yeah.
It's hard being a parent. You know, it's like you think it's hard as kids get older, but when they're young, you know, they need you all the time. It's a tough time.
Man, I shouldn't have been so affectionate to them in the first few months.
Give them a good thrashing. Yeah, never did me any harm.
You say that. Yeah. You've turned out all right, actually.
I've survived.
Yeah. We'll just have a little sip on our rotary wine here, aren't we?
Yeah. Cheers, Ed. Mm. Cheers, everybody.
It's the first alcohol-fueled self-help podcast. I know they used to do it on the Fizzle Show. They used to have cocktails and all sorts.
All right.
But, yeah.
So did they get wilder as they went on?
They did, yeah, and they used to like just nip off to the toilet and leave the microphone going. The one would just sit there chatting away. We won't sink to those kind of depths.
Definitely not. Definitely.
Not at all. Hello to our listeners. For the new guys and girls out there, liveinthepresent.co.uk is the website you need to check out to find out more about us and listen to all the past shows. If you key your email address into the top of the website, we'll send you some freebies, won't we, Sean?
Yep.
Meditation files, which people find, some people just can't live without them.
Yep, it's true, actually.
Yeah, I'm not one of them.
Especially, yeah, I know you're terrible when it comes to things like meditation.
I know.
It's the morning focus one that people say to me, oh, it just helps me so much every day, you know.
Really get in the zone.
Yeah.
Cool.
Get on with your life.
Lots of other cool stuff on the website too, including a blog post, which will accompany this.
Yep.
And we also will email you once a week with as soon as the show goes live.
Yep.
Which isn't too bad, is it?
It's pretty good.
This week, pretty cool. We're talking about relationships,
yeah.
I believe, prompted by a listener, Joe, which we'll come on to shortly. But yeah, how are you doing? How's your week been?
It's okay. We're in post-funeral mode.
Yeah.
Because the funeral was Friday for Mike. And you were there.
I was, also, yeah. And it was... Well, it was a funeral, so, you know, it wasn't easy, right? I mean,
It wasn't easy, but it was good. Yeah. It was good. People were amazing. Pam, Mike's wife, got up and said a poem, and Robert, my son, got up and did a eulogy, which was amazing.
Yeah, nailed it.
Really good. Very emotional, the whole thing, but also humorous too. There was fun in there as well.
Yeah, it's important.
Yeah, it was good, both bits. And the rest of the day was turned into a bit of a wake and was pretty wild and was good.
It was good music during the funeral as well.
Yeah, yeah.
We were all singing along to...
You're my world. Yeah. It was good. Yeah, lovely.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Life goes on, hey?
And that's it, isn't it? It's...
relentless.
It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. You know. And there's people leaving and people arriving, you know. And we've just been in the departure lounge and you with your young lads are in the arrivals lounge, aren't you? It's like...
You're talking about birth and death now, are you talking
about?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. I'm saying it's all going on.
So you actually said goodbye. You've been to the airport?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I know. It's funny, isn't it? Yeah, well, like you say, life goes on, the world keeps on spinning.
Yeah.
And the podcast keeps on trucking.
Keeps on going. And as we talk, I've got people coming in here on the hotline saying, can I have an appointment?
And that big old iPad of yours, treating you well?
I love it. You know, people say about things, I don't know what I did before I had it. But it is just such a useful tool. It's amazing. I love using two apps at once, being able to drag and drop between them and stuff like that. It's really good. Cool. It's cool. I love it.
Very good. All right. Well, let's crack on with the show, because we've had an email from Joe, or was it a text?
Do you want to kind of message.
Introduce her message and then talk about what we're going to be talking about?
Well, what she's saying here is, she says, I've got an idea for a podcast mainly for women, and I actually, looking at it, I think it's for all of us, but yeah, mainly for women from her point of view.
Yep.
It's about people's view of relationships. she said she'd been talking to some men to see how they view relationships, and she'd collected a few analogies. And the two that she quotes here are, egg and chips is nice, but you don't want it every night because it's unhealthy.
Well, you want it every night, but it is unhealthy.
Well, you don't want it every night if you have it every night. That's the idea, isn't
it? You get sick of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure why we're going for egg and chips here. Why aren't we going for steak and chips or something a bit more elaborate, maybe?
Yeah.
And the other one that she gives, which I like here, says, you chase a bus to catch it, but once you've caught it, there's no need to chase it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what she's saying is that when someone wants you in a relationship, and I think this is male and female, but I get what she means by the male issue, and I'll come on to my other stuff in a minute about that, but is the drive is to have it, but once you've got it, well, the drive's gone because you got it.
Mm-hmm.
And the drive is the separation.
Yeah, and that can be the same with any goal, really, can't it?
Yeah.
I think that we've discussed that in about goal setting in general. It's not always the best thing in the world to do because you're constantly chasing something and you get there and you kind of shrug your shoulders and, oh, what now? You're not living in the present.
But that's when the journey becomes more important than the destination.
Yes.
And yes, we need to enjoy the journey, but we need to actually appreciate the destination once we've got there, rather than arriving and looking for the next place to go.
Yeah, and just looking straight the other way. Right, well, I've titled this one then, Why Do We Fall In and Out of Love? So this is about, this is a bit of a relationship in general, one I would say, but you got some, you want to talk about some chemical stuff early on, hey?
Well, to me, the issue is the two bits of the brain, the frontal end. We're talking about dopamine, which is the love drug, which is when you haven't got something, you're driving towards it and you want it. And that could be another person. It could be an object. It could be your desire for a dress or a pair of shoes, or it could be a ham sandwich. But whatever you're driving, heroin or cocaine, whatever you're driving towards, there's this massive chemistry inside you, which is about forcing our energy towards achieving what we want. But the reason that we're forced towards it is because we haven't got it.
Mm.
So the thing is that once we've got it, the dopamine goes. And the dopamine, which is known as the love drug, is like a thrill. It makes us feel amazing. It's good. So you get people that become dopamine junkies, which I think is what Joe's talking about, where you get somebody who... It's the thrill of being in love. It's the thrill of the newness that is the drive and the passion. But as soon as I've got what it was I'm driving towards, then I don't want it anymore.
Mm.
And I have known people, I was saying earlier on when we were talking about it, I've known men who have the three bunk rule, which is that they'll have sex with someone three times and they'll move on because they want to move on while it's still fresh and exciting. They don't want to make it boring.
Yeah, wasn't one of the girls in Sex and the City? That's what she...
Did you have a three-day rule, three bunk rule?
Whatever it was. The New York way of life, New York City.
Yeah.
Date someone a few times and then on you go.
Yeah, but that's all dopamine. It's all about dopamine and dopamine-driven society. And when you've got things like Black Friday, that's dopamine. Must have, must have, must have. So we're going to queue up all night and then fight people for a telly. That's dopamine. It's the drive to get it.
Did you participate in Black Friday?
I was there punching people. No. Good cope. It's interesting that Black Friday has become Black Weekend and Black Week.
And Cyber Monday and...
Yeah.
What the hell, Tuesday? Yeah.
Yeah. So we end up with kind of Black Month, you know.
I saved a nice chunk of wage on a hi-fi unit.
Did you?
Yeah. We were going to get one for Christmas anyway, right. So 60 quid off.
All right. So it's sexy.
Online, I didn't actually go for a... Into a shop to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and when you say it's a hi-fi unit, what does it do? Does it do vinyl or...?
No, well, it's quite hot. I wanted one with a CD player, which is quite tricky to find these days. But at the same time, I wanted one of those, you know, wireless things where I can link my phone and my laptop up to it if I want.
Yep.
But I wanted a CD player one because I've got a load of CDs that the quality's really good and, you know, I don't want to chuck them away. So you can't get like a Sonos one of those or what the other one, Beats and all that stuff. They just link to your phone. But anyway, I found a nice little Sony number that did the job.
And it's got a CD.
A CD player, yeah, it links to my phone and it's got a DAB radio as well attached to it.
Yeah, right, so, yeah.
It's just one little, it's just a black box, like did simple.
Yeah.
No flashing lights and all that.
Cool.
So I'm happy. And didn't have to leave the house today.
Don't have to fight anymore. Yeah,
that takes all that. That's the thrill of the chase for me. Is over.
If you look at relationships, the issue is about creating oxytocin. And oxytocin is the chemical in the brain that bonds you with another situation. So it could be a job.
Mm-hmm.
You could be committed and high levels of fidelity to your job. But committed to another person. And oxytocin is the chemical between a mother and a child.
Right.
But in a good relationship, the two members of the relationship have high levels of oxytocin that bond them together as people.
Yeah, and that doesn't necessarily mean you have to spend every waking hour with each other, right?
No.
This is something where you can be on the other side of the world.
But you're still bonded.
You still feel that connection. But
when you get to, you know, when you hear stories of somebody dies, you know, they're 85 or something, they die, and then their partner dies the following year or within weeks or months.
Yeah.
And that's an oxytocin issue.
Right.
It happens with swans and things like that mate for life.
Mm.
And if their partner gets killed, they're at a loss because they have no one else to be with other than this person they bonded with. There's a guy called Steve Harvey, and I've heard of the 90-day rule quite a lot over the years, never associated with a person, but this guy Steve Harvey, and he's mentioned in a book written by Erica Gordon, which is called Act Like a Woman But Think Like a Man, and it's a book written for women. But when he's talking about men and their commitment to relationships, he talks about the 90-day rule.
Okay.
And what he's saying to women is that you shouldn't, I don't know if that's the right word, but he's suggesting anyway that you don't allow the guy that you're dating to have sex with you for 90 days.
Yep.
And the phrase that he uses is he refers to sex as a cookie. This is a bit from the book. Steve Harvey suggests that women keep the cookie in the cookie jar for a probationary period of 90 days, causing men to have to prove themselves and work for and earn the benefits of being in the relationship.
Okay. Is it a glass cookie jar? Can you see the cookie?
Can you see the cookie?
Or is it hidden away in the
That's interesting,
cupboard?
Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. It's more tempting if you can see it.
She's carrying it around the whole time. There's the cookie, you can see it. You can
maybe a woman walking in front of a man and waving a bum and waving a tits, breasts, whatever, the guy.
Last time we drink wine.
Is the whole idea of waving the cookies, isn't it? Having a transparent cookie jar.
Okay.
But I'm interested in the idea of 90 days because people that have listened to this podcast will realise that Ed and I have talked a lot about how the mind brain works and how the structure of the brain works. It takes 30 days to build a neural net, which is a habit to do something. Mm-hmm. But it takes another 60 days, so 90 days in all, neurologically, to make a habit a long-term memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I kind of get what he's talking about.
The numbers fit there, don't they?
Yeah, that if you were involved in the kind of foreplay bits, like maybe involved in a bit of kind of snogging and a bit of, you know...
Choose your words carefully.
Yeah, I am. This is a family show here. The loving, petting, you know, the snogging, the tuning in mm-hmm. to the other person. And maybe in generations gone by, people did spend, you know, maybe 90 days fumbling on their parents' sofa, you know, before they did anything. Whereas there can be a tendency in the way that we are at the moment to kind of jump into bed with somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how long ago was the whole no sex before marriage thing? Was that back in your day, Sean?
Oh, I don't know. I think that the 60s particularly, it was the pill. It was the pill that changed it.
Right.
Up to that point, women were scared of getting pregnant, so it was like condoms and fear. Mm. You produced the pill, and it's like, come on, boys, get your trousers off, because we're not scared of being pregnant anymore. So you get this sexual revolution, and then women's liberation, you get the whole thing going on together.
Et cetera, et cetera, yeah.
But the issue has to be, and I guess that what Jo's saying in her message is it the way that men, and I think it's unfair to talk in those terms completely. I get the idea about maleness, but there are lots of men with female brains in the same way there are lots of women with male brains. So there is a crossover.
Yep.
Yeah, but that idea that you want something and you're desperate for it, so you're desperate for your fish and chips, but then it's the same plate and the same fish and chips, and it's kind of every night and it's served the same way. And it's like, it was kind of exciting the first time I ate it, and after the 400th time, it's become boring.
Yeah. Yeah? Well, I know there's a couple of blog posts I'll link to in the show notes, and, you know, they go over similar points, but they relate to what you just said, because one of them is 8 reasons women fall out of love. No, oh, it's always women. You know, it's the same for men, I guess. Maybe we're not. I don't know. We are wired a bit differently, are we?
Yeah. But it's the crossover. It's the men with female brains and the women with male brains. There is a crossover point.
Okay. But yeah, one of the 8 reasons is boredom in terms of people, you know. But we don't just get bored by ourselves, do we? We get bored because we're. There's this thing about relationships can often fall apart because one person changes and one person doesn't, or maybe both change. We're all changing all the time, aren't we?
Yeah.
So do relationships need to be ready for change?
I think that good relationships have change built into them. But the issue is, are we changing together or are we changing apart?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you made the comment about, you know, we don't need to be with each other all the time, and that's right, but we need to be with each other enough of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and having shared interests.
We talk about the elastic between people, don't you?
Yeah. And there needs to be enough tension in the elastic to pull you back together.
That's right.
If people get too close together, there's no tension in the elastic, so they're not pulled together. They get kind of complacent.
And swash around a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, until they go to a party and their partner's being chattered up by someone else, and suddenly their elastic goes twang, and they're over there like a rocket. What are you doing? What's going on?
What's all this?
Yeah. So it's important to keep your elastic taut.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the dopamine, emotional connection and attraction between you.
Yeah.
And I guess that in terms of any relationship, when it comes to things like children, you know, a woman goes through a period of time where she gets big, she's pregnant, and very often a lot of the women I work with at that point lose confidence in themselves and their body. They feel like they're kind of, you know, flabby fat. They've been breastfeeding and their boobs have changed.
Mm.
And being able to come to terms with this new body that you got and to still feel sexy with it is important stuff.
Yep.
And the idea of things like people don't want to take their clothes off in front of their partner because they feel like they've got stretch marks and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Rather than actually being comfortable in the body that you got.
I'm just making a note here.
Yeah.
So I don't forget. I read an article just yesterday that I'd saved. It was quite interesting about, is it theatlantic.com? Something like that. I'll put the link in the show notes. But it was one of the writers on this website went into detail about how he changed his appearance physically in 3 months. He got quite flabby. He was kind of late 30s. He let it go a little bit. And he changed from the person that his wife had married. You know, he was once quite buff, and he, you know, she recalls seeing him come out of the ocean, you know, looking more chiseled and that. And then 7 years later, he's much chubbier. And I think there's pictures of him. No, there are on this website, but they're done quite funnily, jokily. But anyway, he said that enough is enough. In 3 months, he hired a personal trainer, and he absolutely nailed it. His diet and his fitness regime, and he lost, you know, like I think 40 pounds or something like that. Whether that translates as in kilos, I'm not sure.
A lot of stuff.
So got super healthy again. But interestingly, his partner didn't completely appreciate it as much as he thought she would, and that she'd kind of grown used to this chap. He'd grown a beard, which he shaved off, and he changed rapidly in front of her. Which I don't think, I think they're still together, but she didn't like it that much. She kind of missed the curves, but he's all of a sudden this super healthy, confident guy again, and I think she was a bit threatened by that in some ways.
Yeah, I've seen that the other way around, where you get a guy who's with a woman who's maybe had a couple of kids, maybe put on quite a few pounds, and suddenly she decides to get herself together and loses the weight and is looking pretty sexy.
Yeah.
And suddenly the man gets threatened then, because other men, they kind of look at it and go, she looks cool.
Exactly.
Yeah, and, but very often those things are triggering dopamine. Mm-hmm. They're triggering dopamine in the woman who's now feeling sexy, that's being picked up by other potential partners. Yeah, but also it's triggering the other partner who's now looking and thinking, well, you've changed. Uh-huh. Yeah, and is it more comfortable to have a partner who is fat? No, fat. Who is carrying weight, is curvy, maybe isn't as attractive and is kind of out of the way. You know, I mean, one of the things politically sensitive at the moment, but the idea of when men need their women to be covered up, so they're just looking through a slot.
Yeah.
What's that about? You know, we talk about the sanctity of the woman and stuff like that. But most of that stuff is driven by the male fear of other men seeing my woman.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're talking about dopamine kind of issues here. When people have high levels of oxytocin, whether it's as a couple or whether it's as a society, you have bonding. If you think of oxytocin as bonding, people are bonded together. And if we could just bond human beings together, we wouldn't have all those problems that we have now. Mm. So oxytocin is a very, very powerful chemical in the brain. If we could get it working in people. You know, if Jihadi John had a lot of oxytocin, he wouldn't be able to go out and shoot people. Or cut their heads off.
He wouldn't want it. Right?
It would be a different motivation going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Once the honeymoon period in a relationship is over, there's all, you know, there's ups and downs for all relationships, doesn't matter who you are. A lot of the points I've read about in these two blog posts I linked to and come down to kind of communication, the kind of the loss of feeling of adoration. So like he doesn't spend enough as much time with me as he used to. He doesn't look at me the same way, or she. It just seems to be communication is quite a key one.
But I think that the key about the word communication is it's not talking. Mm-hmm. It's like you just said, it's like he doesn't look at me in the same way. He doesn't do the same things. He doesn't dive through the window with a rose between his teeth kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But that works both ways. It's, you know, like the amount of men who feel isolated and alone because their partner doesn't kiss them or hug them, you know, when they go to bed or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, issues like what do you wear when you go to bed? You know, are you available when you go to bed, or have you got a sort of boiler suit and a pair of boots on? You know, what's happening? You know, is your birthday suit the suit you should be wearing in bed, which means like, okay, baby, I'm available, come and get me, or do I need to clothe myself when I go to bed?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and also there's issues about how do people sleep? Do they sleep where they touch each other, or do they sleep? You know, because all those things are to do with oxytocin, they're to do with dopamine. Is it, what are we doing? What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Again, I've read another one. I'll struggle to find it online again, but when kids come into play, I didn't relate to this one hugely, though we do have little ones in our bed every now and again. Of an evening, they kind of one runs through. But a guy, a husband and wife I read about, got to the point where every night, basically, the wife was sharing a bed with the son, and he was on his own, which at first he loved because he was getting a great night's sleep, but then he kind of grew to really not resent his son, I don't think, but
resent his son.
A little bit, yeah. He felt the relationship kind of crumbling because of it, even though he had it all and he had a great little family and all that.
There's
a lot of little landmines you can step, potential landmines you can step on in a relationship. Blimey.
Yeah. But staying awake to it. And I mean, when there's a million things going on, you know, difficult stuff that's happening, and that can be work stuff, financial stuff, can be family stuff, can be bereavement stuff, you know, that still being able to attend to each other and make sure each other are okay and we're looking after each other when there's a lot of stuff to deal with can be difficult.
Yeah.
And certainly children. Issues about when the first child comes along is usually when, if it's going to happen, when affairs begin. You know, it's that kind of time when the pressure's on.
Okay, yeah.
You know. I think that we're talking about issues of awakeness and awareness. And in many ways, although if I was out there on the market looking for a woman and I was tuning into a woman and she'd say, no, you've got to wait for 90 days, you know, how would I feel? I don't know. But I get it. I get what it's about. It's about what's this relationship going to be?
Yep.
You know, am I a utensil? Am I a sexual object? Yeah, or is this something that we're going to work on and make happen? But I don't think it is just an issue about women giving people 90 days. It's the other way too.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, lots of men are exploited by women.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to. We've done plenty of, I'm sure, relationship podcasts over the years again as well. But it's important to remember that moving on from a relationship, even if you've been married 10, 15, 20 years, isn't, you know, it's an option for everyone, isn't it? You know, you're not, well, you can, it's all right to let go, isn't it? Sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to put the effort in and try if you think it's worth it. But if you don't, then don't. You're nodding at me. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah. You don't have to stay or be anything.
Yeah.
You know, the world is full of choices. It's certainly full of consequences. We have to accept the consequences of what we do. But there's no reason why we should get locked into things that are of no use to us.
Yeah. You know? We did do a show about divorce not that long back, didn't we? What were we talking about?
Positive divorce.
Yeah, that's right.
Letting go positive.
Financial
nightmare.
Yeah.
Nightmare. But yeah.
So have a dig through that as well. Anything else you'd like to mention, Sean?
No, I'm okay.
Don't feel like we've come to many conclusions there aside from just. But
I think that the conclusions for me in that are that when you're attracted to somebody, that's one set of events. If you want to make it work with another person, you have to change the way that that works. And from a brain point of view, that's changing from dopamine to oxytocin. You know, bonded. You know, people will say, he, she is my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And that means they've oxytocined. Yeah?
That's the goal.
But you can still be a best friend and still be a pretty wild lover, mm-hmm. if you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have to put the effort into that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Cool. You got a resource for us?
Yeah, I'm going back to one of my books, which is What Colour Is Your Knicker Elastic, which is all about relationships.
That old classic, yeah, great.
Yeah, and loads of people that I use it with when I'm working with couples, lots of positive feedback, because what it describes is what's the difference between people. We assume that people are like us, and when someone says, I love you, and you say, I love you too, that we know what we're talking about, and we don't, because people mean different things.
Okay.
And it's understanding what the colour of that elastic, that emotional connection between you is. Well, how's it working?
When did you write that one? Way back when?
10 years ago, something like that. 10 years ago, 12 years ago, maybe.
Cool. Have we got some copies to flog? Should we?
We have. Come on down.
All right. We'll put the link in the show notes so you can grab yourself a copy if you want. Mine is a series of TED Talks. It's a playlist on TED.com. Talks that might just save your relationship. So there's 8 of them lined up, which
that's cool.
You can watch all 1 or 2 of them or none of them, but a good, real good mix of guys and girls that have that'll give you 18 minutes of really good chat about
I like that.
Relationships.
Yeah,
which is cool. I didn't realise Ted did these playlist type things now, so that's cool. But yeah, we've done 28 minutes there, so we'll leave it there for now.
Yeah, that's cool. That's good.
All the show notes and links, liveinthepresent.co.uk. Lots of other good stuff on there as well. I need to look on iTunes to see if we've had any reviews of late. I will right after this.
You do that.
Because if you haven't left as a review, and you wouldn't mind spending a couple of minutes doing that, then please do, because it does something. I don't know what it does, but it helps us
get it up. Makes us feel good.
Yeah, it gives us
dopamine.
That's not cool. Oxytocin though.
No, I don't want that. Dopamine.
Okay. Cool. Give us a dopamine hit, guys. Yeah.
You take care.
Yeah, have we decided what we're talking about next week?
No, but we will in a moment.
It'd be fab. Have a good week, John.
Okay. See ya. Bye.